and thanks for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly. This is the 25th show, Jim. Man, I can't believe it.
Well, I'm Jim Allen, and with me today is John Gibson.
As usual.
As usual. How you doing, John?
Man, you know, I'm cold. You know me.
I do.
Love summer. I don't like this autumn thing, this fall breeze that's ugh. I'm freezing here. I got a blanket on.
Yeah, well, go figure. I mean, it's finally beginning to, you know, the weather's beginning to correspond to the calendar for about the sixth time this year.
I don't like it. I like summer. I love summer. I want summer to pass.
You can go to the southern hemisphere then. It's just springtime now.
Yeah, thanks for that suggestion.
Well, I mean, just figured it, you could be do the endless summer kind of thing.
You're trying to help. I understand. You're trying to help.
I am helping.
No.
Trust me.
No, you're not. All right. Well, this week we've got an interview with DJ Holton of the SoftBank Hawks, and we're going to discuss the playoff scenarios, the possibilities, even though the seeds aren't quite set yet. So let's get it going by clearing the bases. All right, so I caught up with SoftBank right-hander DJ Holton on Friday night. I was really lucky to hook up with him. And this interview came the day before they clinched the Pacific League title on Saturday at Sabre Dome.
Well, that was good timing.
Yeah, it was lucky. We really, really appreciate your time, DJ. Thank you very much for taking
us
10
you.
Minutes
we
to chat with us.
The listeners appreciate it.
Now, I had picked the Lions to be a playoff team, not win the league, but they haven't really, they haven't really gotten the job done. But the Hawks, I figured, were going to win. I remember talking to Michael Westbay earlier in one of the earlier episodes and said, you know, I just think they're stacked. And as it turns out, they were stacked even more than I thought. Because, you know, we talked about their depth and everything, but, geez, they had guys coming out of nowhere to pitch well for them, to hit well for them. But it was still no surprise that they won the Pacific League.
Yeah, I think just looking at what they've done and in the past with the guys they had who were coming back, and then, geez, you know, they had, I mean, last year they had trouble getting at bats for Jose Ortiz, and he's still a quality player. And this year he's the forgotten man. It's not a waste, but it tells you how much talent they got. And I mean, the Hawks are so talented that even Alex Cabrera couldn't slag him off.
Alex Cabrera, Hitoshi Tamura, these guys are sitting around, you know, slapping the dust off their uniforms on the bench. They're just not doing anything.
Well, Cabrera's got a bad hamstring. He says he's got a bad hamstring and it hurts him when he runs. So I did see a game when they sent him out when Matsunaga was hurt. They sent him out to first base, and he looked like he was glaring back at the dugout, like, you don't really want me to come out here, do you?
Well, and DJ actually talked about it. He sent an email to me. I asked him for a comment for my blog earlier this season, and he sent an email, you know, detailing, you know, look, we got these guys, you know, like Cabrera and Matsunaga sitting around not doing anything. It's amazing to have talent like that on the team. And sure. You know, I'm sure he was really impressed. But DJ's a great guy. He's from Orange County, California, he's a surfer dude from Orange County. And he's the team leader in wins. I mean, you know, you don't hear a lot about him, but he's 16-6. And he's the first foreign pitcher to win at least 16 games for that team since 1964.
Well, you know, the thing is, and because he didn't have the big win totals, but 2009, when the Hawks lost in the first round of the playoffs, I think DJ Holton could have been their best pitcher. He was one of their best pitchers. Tsugiuchi was probably the best that year.
Right.
But he was one of their best pitchers. He's one of the most valuable pitchers in 2009. He had a pretty mediocre season last year, which I'm sure the injuries contributed to, or the ineffectiveness. Something contributed to that 5.7 ERA.
Right.
But he has been, you know, he has made quality, he's had a quality impact on the team. So it's not the biggest of surprise. It's not like he hasn't done anything in Japan. This is his fourth season.
Right.
He's 39-27 right now, so.
Yeah, I mean, his whip is, you know, just under one. Part of that is because lefties are only hitting 205 off him this year. And he's faced more lefties than he has righties this year.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. And he's always talking, you know, when I've talked to him before, he'd always talk about how, you know, he was going to face a team. He looked at their left-handed batters, and you know, he always mentioned that this team had good lefties or this and that, but he's just plugging away. He's having a great season. So let's take a listen to the interview. All right. I'm here with DJ Holt, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem at all. No problem.
Now, you guys are on the verge of clinching this thing, but talk about your season. I mean, your team has been strong from the start, and expectations are really high. Just discuss what the season's been like.
It's been something else, man. I haven't really been on a team like this, you know, throughout any of my professional ball. We're really good. I mean, we got a good mix of guys and good clubhouse, and we're really, you know, everyone's enjoying each other's company. You know, we're having fun on the field, off the field. We got a bunch of, you know, screwballs on the team, and we just got a good mix of old guys, young guys, and we got some good starting pitching, great bullpen, and you know, we hit the ball most of the time, and we play good defense. I mean, we're really well rounded, and we're really deep. I haven't been on a team like this. Like I said, it's just really it's really fun. It's really fun to watch too.
Now, we talked about the depth all the time, but I mean, in the off season, you made some pickups that were really key, I thought. Although a couple of the guys got hurt, but talk about the way the team changed from last season.
I mean, Uchikawa, our team's night and day with him. He's a really good hitter. He's got a little bit of power. He hits the ball to both sides of the field. He's just a good hitter. He can run a little bit. He plays good defense. And we got Hosokawa, the catcher. I really like him. He calls a great game. He's kind of more of like an American catcher. He's kind of a big body. He's a little bigger. He's a little heavier.
Right.
He doesn't hit very well. But he calls a good game, and he catches, and he's got a good arm. You know, he's pretty quick. And, then we got Cabrera, which he's been hurt a little bit, but I mean, you know, just having him here as a pinch hitter, you know, that's gonna strike fear in the opposing team for sure. So, you know, the manager's got to be thinking about, you know, him on the bench.
Yeah, and I remember asking you for a comment from our blog earlier this season, and you talked about the depth that you guys have. Like, you guys had, at the time, Cabrera was on the bench, Matsunaka was on the bench, wasn't playing. Talk about the depth of this team. I mean, you guys suffered almost as many injuries, if not more, than any other team in Japan, yet you've been able to overcome all this stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess, you know, you got 144 games, they're bound to have some injuries. So I think we're so deep. I mean, we have Jose Ortiz, too, which I think, 2 years ago, he hit about 30 home runs or something like that. I mean, he's a great hitter, too. So, I mean, he's still on the bench, as we speak now, and he's healthy. He's just on the bench ready to hit. It's
right.
We're just so deep. It's just, you know, it just helps. Like I said, we know you're gonna have injuries, and just to have, you know, a lot of the teams here in Japan, I don't think they're so deep as us, because I mean, you get a couple guys get hurt, you can just see that, you know, most of their seasons just go downhill from there when they got their star players get hurt. But you know, you got guys to pick up the slack.
I see that. I mean, I talked to Tamura, the outfielder, and I talked to Jose about not getting playing time earlier this year, and those guys are sitting around getting dust on those jerseys the way they're sitting around so much. And I mean, those are frontline guys.
Yeah, they got no business being on the bench, but I mean, they take it well. They're on the bench. They don't mope and they don't pout about it. They're out there ready to go, and you know, they're professionals. They've been around a while. They're a little older. They're in their mid 30s or so. So I mean, I guess they know how the game is, I guess, so they just kind of accept it, and, you know, they're ready, because, you know, their time's going to come, you know, because of injuries or someone's struggling, so, you know, their time's going to come. We just don't know when.
Well, now, let's discuss the rotation. Now, you won a career-best 16 games, and, you know, you've been one of the steadiest guys in the rotation all season. Talk about your season.
It's been unreal for me. I mean, I think I've pitched pretty well, but, I mean, I think I've just been really lucky, too. I've had... When I pitch, it just seems like I get some runs, and I get good run support and good defense. It's just been, I mean, you can look at, you know, Sugiuchi on our team. I think he's got like 7 or 8 wins, and he's got like a 1-something ERA. So it's just, I guess it just depends on the day you pitch. It seems like, you know, every year there's always a guy that kind of gets run support and, you know, pitches well, but just gets more runs than most guys do on the staff. And I think I just happened to be that lucky guy this year. So
I know that's the case for a lot of guys, but I think you pitched well too. I mean, there's been some tough games that you've been in. Now you've won these 16 games, but, and you talk about the fact that the guys are giving you good run support, but you pitched well too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I just try to keep the team in the game. I try and go, you know, 6 or 7 innings. I mean, I want to go 9, but you know, it doesn't always work out that way. But I mean, try to go as far as I can, you know, to give the bullpen some rest and just keep it close. I mean, I usually go out there and give up a couple of runs, but I just try and limit the big innings and just give up a run here or there. And I think it's just been working for me because our offense, we're bound to score sooner or later in a 9-inning game. So it's just, if I keep them close, it usually, you know, the floodgates open and we score like 4 or 5 runs in an inning and we're ahead. And then we got the great bullpen and it's pretty much over when the bullpen gets it.
Yep, they slammed the door. Now, this team has a history of struggles in the playoff format. So last year it was Lotte that came back and got you guys. Is this in the discussion? You guys talk about, you know, trying to get through this playoff thing?
I mean, it's got to be in everyone's back of their head. I mean, we've made the playoffs and we just can't get over this hump. I don't know what it is. It's, you know, last year we had that one game advantage in the 7-game series and we just still blew it at the end against, we ran into the Marines and Nerusse just, you know, he had our number the whole series. So, I mean, we got a different team this year, so, you know, maybe it's a different story, but it's something I remember. I can remember not going to the Japan series when I almost thought, you know, I thought it was a lock for sure.
Right. Now, I mean, have you heard of any kind of a curse, like a Billy Goat thing or a Babe Ruth kind of a thing that's going on with this team? Because we can't figure it out either. I mean, you guys always have a strong team. You've been this year, fourth year there, and, you know, always have a strong team, always in the playoffs, and yet something goes wrong somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if everyone's just all tired or we're peaking at the wrong time. We're just doing, you know, we're not saving enough for the postseason. I think last year the case was we finished the season, we had first place, and then we had like 2 or 3 weeks off.
Right.
Whereas the second place and third place team, you know, they had a week off or so, but they're back playing games. And, you know, we went down to the Phoenix League, which is like the Arizona Fall League or something for the prospects here. And we played games there, but it's just not the same. And we had that 3-week layoff, and I think it just really got to us. We were kind of maybe our bodies shut down, and we were, you know, just weren't ready.
All right, well, we'll see how it goes this year. Now, how do you figure the rotation's going to go in the playoffs? I see it like this. Tell me what you think. I got Wada, Setsu, and I guess Sugiuchi's scheduled to return. He's got a fatigued shoulder or something.
Yeah, I think he's coming back within the week, maybe. I think he's going to pitch in a regular season again, so he'll be ready to go. I think he was just kind of gassed. I think he goes 9 innings every week.
Yes,
so I think
does, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I got Wada, Setsu, Sugiuchi, and you. How do you see it, rotation in the playoffs?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, I don't know how many, I'm trying to think last year how many guys we had, if we had 5 guys or...
Well, Setsu was in the bullpen last year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if we go with those 4 guys, I think that's possible because I'm sure we have off days in there. So, in what order, I have no idea. I can't, this is baseball in Japan, so I can't figure it out. I mean, who knows where anyone starts. I mean, I would assume Wada and Sugiuchi have to have the first 2 games, and after that, I really don't know.
All right, well, good luck, man. We'll be rooting for you. I know I will be, you know, fellow Southern California guy.
Yeah, no, we gotta represent the Orange County area.
That's right, man. All right, well, we really appreciate the time. Thank you very much for coming around and giving us a few minutes to chat.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, DJ, thank you again very much for taking the time, man. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, that was something. I just have to think about, a couple of things. I mean, obviously he said a few things that are kind of interesting. Obviously the one about the quality on the Hawks. But you do feel bad. I mean, people have been around. He's been with the Hawks for a while, but you'd think he'd remember how good Hosokawa was with the Lions.
Well, because he had to face him. But maybe the thing is he, you know, he remembers that Hosokawa is a guy he probably looked at as an out guy. I'm gonna walk everybody to get to him, and, you know, and try to get him out to get out of the inning. And he's an escape hatch. And you know, Hosokawa isn't that great a hitter average wise.
No, he's not. He's not. But he's also a guy who's gonna hit. Well, I mean, he did hit the year. Holton's first year in Japan in 2008, Hosokawa hit 16 home runs and drove in 58 runs for the Lions, and they were the league champions.
Is that the year he hit 176, or the year he hit 191 overall?
The year he hit 238.
Oh, okay.
That was really his career year.
Yes, it was. Career year.
And then he got hurt and didn't play in the Japan Series.
Yeah. Poor guy. Well, I mean, yeah, he didn't go as far as slide him under the bus, but he walked him up to the bus.
Well, he isn't a hitter now. He's a pretty mediocre hitter. For a catcher, you know, there's a lot of guys who are worse than him, but, you know, he was the guy they wanted, and they have had success with him catching, with the exception of the weird thing at the beginning of the year when Wada and Sugiuchi couldn't win when he caught him.
Yeah, well, those guys, I mean, you know, Sugiuchi wasn't winning early on. He just wasn't winning games. He was pitching okay, but he wasn't winning games.
Right, but as soon as they switched catchers, Sugiuchi had his only good streak of the season. And then when that streak ended, then they went back to letting Hosokawa. They figured he's not going to win with anybody. We'll let him lose with the better guy.
Now, DJ also didn't seem interested in talking about curses or anything, but something has to be up with this team failing like this in the playoffs. Ugh.
Yes, the Hawks have yet to win a playoff series.
Oh, win five we have them at?
I have to do the math again. Well, 2009, 2010, they've lost now. Okay, 2009 they lost in the first round. 2006 they lost in the first round in Sendai, and then 2006 in Chiba. Okay, last year they lost in the second round. 2005,
they lost to Marine.
Yes, 2004, 2005, 2010, they lost in the second stage, twice at home and once on the road. So they are 0-5.
Now, he didn't want to talk about a curse, but it can't be the manager. I don't know what the common denominator is. I mean, Sadaharu Oh was the manager early on.
Three of them.
And who was, I guess, Akiyama?
I take that back, four times.
Okay, Akiyama.
No, three times. Akiyama, 2009, 2010. Okay. So three times.
All right. So now I hope he gets the chance to pitch. Definitely this is his best season, obviously.
Right.
And you know, with all the numbers, and he looks good. So I just hope he gets a chance to pitch early on. I don't know what, you know, just what he said. He doesn't know what order he'll be pitching in, but, you know, we'll hope he gets a chance to throw.
You know what? He's going to pitch. he could, you know, in my opinion, he is the Hawks' best pitcher this year. I think he's the best pitcher right now on that team. And you wouldn't know it by the fact that, A, his own manager didn't pick him for the All-Star team. But that, you know, the Pacific League was a weird situation. There were so many Hawks, it was hard to pick another one. I mean, the Hawks were an all-star team for the most part.
Yes, they were.
But he is the best pitcher on the Hawks right now. We'll get into that a little bit later. And I think he's the one who should be out there in front, but he's not the big name. And, well, heck, you know, here's another thought. Wada and Sugiuchi probably won't be playing for the Hawks next year.
And that is because?
They're going to be free agents.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to move for sure, but...
No, but I think that's likely, especially Wada. Sugiuchi, because of his season, he might stick around a year to try to have a better, you know, to have a better and bigger impact on the market. But
right.
These guys could be the last, you know, it could be their last roundup in SoftBank.
Well, I did read a story, I think it was this past week, where it said the Dodgers were interested in Wada. And,
I've heard that.
So, well, we'll see how it goes. If they don't win it this year and they lose, you know, a couple key pitchers, maybe they'll be ordinary, or not ordinary, but maybe struggling to finish in the top three instead of leading almost wire to wire.
Well, yeah, but my point there was they may want to, would you consider it a major upset if they started DJ in the first game?
In the first game? Yeah.
I mean, it can't happen. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not in their mindset. Yeah. Fans don't want to see it. They want to see Wada. And they want to see Sugiuchi. And they probably want to see Setsu. And then they probably want to see Oba. And then they'll say the best. They'll bring out the best guy for Game 5, and that would be the Hawks' pattern this year.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we wanted to talk about was playoff scenarios. So let's segue into that. You know, obviously the Hawks won the league title. They're going to be playing the second stage at home. They're going to get to host this so-called 7-game series where they have a 1-game advantage.
Yeah, that's something I still haven't quite figured out.
I don't want to think about it. I try not to dwell on it. That's all I'm going to say. And then we talked about the rotation, how that would go. I mean, I think Wada is first. I think Sugiuchi is next. If it were my team, I'd pitch Holton.
I would too.
And then I'd come back with Setsu. That's just because Setsu's a first-year starter. He's pitched in the playoffs. He's got all that experience, I think. But starting in the playoffs is a whole different animal, and I'd pitch him fourth. And that's, you know, predicated on them winning two of those first games. Because if they don't, then I think they come back with their top starter. As long as they win at least one of them, Setsu gets a chance. But they're four deep, at least, and they can pitch other guys. I mean,
sure. They can pitch other guys. They've probably got guys who haven't pitched in the Pacific League who could win a game in the playoffs. You know, guys we're not even thinking about.
Yeah.
I mean, they could bring Otonari out. He's not bad.
No.
They got Oba.
No. Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as bringing out Yamada. He was Iwasaki.
Yamada.
I wouldn't use Iwasaki either because he's a mystery.
Well, but they got pitchers for days, and the guys, while they are mysteries, they're mysteries for some batters too, because they weren't, they were hit sometimes and then not at all sometimes. It just, it is a mystery. But who else? I mean, in terms of the offense now.
Okay.
Again, we talked about all the talent that the team has on the bench, but who do you start in the outfield and who do you go with as the DH?
Well, first of all, the first thing is that the talent you have on the bench is more or less irrelevant when you get to this time of the year, because you're no longer trying to win 80 games. You only got to win 10.
Right. And in the short series, you're looking at the short term.
Right. I mean, the guys, if they've got speed and they've got defense, then they're useful. But we're really talking about the guys that are going to give you a big lead so that you can put the guys who can play defense in the game in the ninth inning.
Right.
Right. So who am I going to start? I don't know. Akiyama's been going with all his reserve guys, but I think the obvious ones. He's going to, stick with the obvious guys first. Hosokawa is going to catch, and Honda's going to play second, and Kawasaki's going to play third. Matsuda's going to play. Kawasaki's short. Matsuda's at third. And then the outfield. You know, Hasegawa's been sort of making a comeback in the last couple of weeks. He's been getting a few good, I say a few, few
very
good
few.
Swings.
Very few. But yeah. Some hits in this weekend sweep up in Saitama.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Fukuda gets a start.
I would be surprised if he does. I mean, he's playing well, but again, you said, go with the top guns. And
well, who else is it?
You got to put Uchikawa out there, and you got to put Tamura out there, I think.
Again,
they have so much. They have so many weapons. It's just, do you want to shoot a lot of bullets or a big one?
if I had a choice, the team I would go with, it would be, depending on who I'm facing, but I think if I have a chance to blow somebody out, I might even put Ortiz in left field. I'd put Ortiz in left field, Uchikawa in right, Tamura in center.
I would go with DH. Yeah, I would DH Ortiz, actually. I was thinking about that.
They gotta play him, and this is the thing. I think now, if I'm Akiyama, now's the time I want him getting into games, because he's been, he's been on life support. He's been frozen in suspended animation for most of this season. They gotta thaw this guy out and get him some at bats.
There are ice crystals forming on the ice crystals. I mean, yeah, you're right. He is. He's been in a cryogenics lab
right.
the whole season. So, but I would DH him. And I think
maybe Jose is all his family might miss him. Maybe they could put him into stasis, and then in 2 years when the Hawks realize that they really need him, he won't be any older.
Right. Right. We can still use this guy. Just get him in there. Now Matsunaka got injured.
Right.
I think he's going to return. Kokubo was injured. We're not sure if they're going to return, but all this is predicated on two other studs. Whether they can come back or not. And
hamstring, so he's not really hitting well.
Yeah, I would try to put him at first base if either one of those guys is not back. But let's move on to probably we think is going to be the second place team, the Fulham Fighters. But geez, I mean, I haven't seen a team go like this bad for this long in this critical a time. Well, maybe since the Boston Red Sox.
Wow, that's ancient history. Sorry, Satoshi, about that reference. A friend of mine is still suffering heartburn from that.
Well, I could have said that at a Braves, but it just wouldn't have been not as much impact.
Well, nothing's quite as poignant as a Red Sox as a Red Sox epic defeat. I mean, look at it this way: we're going to get all this great literature out of from all those writers and novelists who live in the Northeast and who live and die with the Red Sox, or you know, die mostly.
I was going to say, if you can revive them,
yeah. So Stephen King will probably get a new novel out of this, and so you know the Red Sox are so much more fun when they lose. I mean, I do feel bad for all the fans because you know fans are the same everywhere. They want their guys to win, but yeah, there's nothing quite, you know, there's nothing quite as heroic. You know, they're like a Greek tragedy waiting to happen. So and the fighters aren't quite in the Greek tragedy category yet. We have to save those for the Hanshin Tigers, I think.
Right. Well, 6-17 in September, and it's just, you know, everything's gone bad. They're giving up, would you say, close to 4 runs a game while they're only scoring about 2.5. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess.
It is bad, and it's, I don't know, just you look at the team and they're just a mystery right now. The defense has been bad. I mean, the defense has been uncharacteristically bad for the Fighters. And to me, that's the most troubling thing.
Yeah. I mean, the starting pitching, you could probably, you know, somehow you can work on that. You can get somebody to get hot. Darvish, he's been pitching well, but he's been losing.
Right.
And, you know, but nothing a few runs wouldn't solve, you know. And once you get a win right like that, then you get on a roll.
Yeah, but when I see, you know, I watch the Fighters play and I see them throwing balls away and balls getting under their gloves. I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody. But they're a team that has in the past, when they've made defensive mistakes, you know, come up, you know, just basically bounced back and got back to business, took it in stride, and they're looking snake bit right now. And as soon as their defense, as you know, we've talked about it so many times. I mean, since Nashida came, their offense has been better, but that's sort of like, you know, you can paint a zebra brown, it still doesn't make it a horse.
Right.
You know, they're still a defensive team, and when the defense slides, I think people are going to be looking around saying, you know, what's going to go next?
Right. Well, I mean, a couple of things stood out to me, and one was, and I think we talked about it before we started taping, was the fact that in my opinion, they didn't really have a chance to get to first place. I didn't think they were going to come back and catch the Hawks.
Not after the 10th of September.
Not in September. I lost confidence in that happening right around the beginning of September, but I saw what they were doing and I thought, oh, they're putting their foot on to the, they're putting the pedal to the metal, they're gonna make a run.
Right.
But I didn't think it was gonna be a fruitful run. But what they did during that time was they pitched Darvish on short rest about 3 times.
Right.
And for me, when you do that, you undermine the confidence of the other guys, the other pitchers.
Right.
You're telling them they're not good enough, and you're putting a lot of pressure on Darvish. And you're putting a lot of pressure on the team to win those games.
Sure.
And they did okay in those games. I think he had a couple no decisions that, you know, they lost them. I think there's 3 no decisions that they had, and they lost them.
Right.
And he won 2 games, but, you know, why do it? You know, why? Why? I mean, you really didn't have a legitimate chance to get to first place. And, I mean, and based on the fact that you got swept over Fukuoka when you had a big series before and you nearly got swept at home against them, you know, why bother? Just settle in your comfort zone. Find out what your playoff roster is going to be. Focus on getting those guys, keeping those guys healthy and getting them ready to go. And then just wait for the playoffs.
Hmm. Well, there's kind of a weird thing going on with the Fighters. I mean, I've seen this. Nashida is a favorite manager of mine, and interestingly enough, you know, just about the time the team started sliding was the time when the Fighters decided that, or the Fighters decided, or Nashida decided, I don't know, but they decided that somebody decided that he would not be the manager next year for the Fighters.
Right.
And it wasn't long after that that they just kind of went in the toilet.
They hit the skids.
They did indeed. Now, it's not a lot of errors, but, you know, the Fighters, they made 13 errors I guess it's not. The errors aren't really an issue. They're just not getting to balls that they should have got to. making, doing weird stuff in the field. And Nishida has had a, you know, when he was the manager of the Buffaloes, he would play Norihiro Nakamura and Tuffy Rhodes.
Yes.
Past the point, well, no, I mean, these guys were the stars of the team. They were the big guns in his team. But he'd play them pretty much regardless of what their physical condition was. I mean, Tuffy Rhodes in 2001 played the entire second half of the season. I think it was 2001. It might have been 2002. Played most of the season with a broken bone in his foot or a bone bruise. He had some kind of ailment that he had extra cushioning in his. And it, basically, what he needed was a month's rest. He needed like 2 or 3 weeks to get out of it, you know, to sit down and let the thing heal. And I asked Nishida, why don't you, if they're not contributing, why do you play them? And he said, because if I don't put them in the lineup, it will be a signal to the fans that we are giving up. I love him, and you know, Tuffy loves him, and Tuffy told me a number of times that he would run through walls for him. There's nobody, you know, if
right.
Nishida called him, he could come and play for him, but that drove him nuts. It drove me nuts. I love the man, but on occasion he gets, I don't know if it's panic, but he gets tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. And I think this thing with Darvish was a case of his getting tunnel vision. I don't know if the defense is connected with that, but the defense, the guys maybe were trying to make plays they couldn't really make.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like panic, you know, it looks and smells like panic in Sapporo.
Well, I mean, yeah, they look like a boxer, just, you know, they're just set up for that straight right, and all you got to do is hit them, pop them real good, and they're going to drop. I mean, in the meantime, Oryx has been playing great baseball. And, you know, the fighters were fortunate that the Eagles were able to, you know, win a couple games in the series against Oryx, where you figure Oryx was going to win.
Right.
And keep this thing, you know, the second place, I mean, this run for second place between Oryx and Nippon Ham is going to be, you know, tight. It's going to be down to the wire. Right. And, I'm discounting Save the Lions, but we shouldn't, because they have this big 3-game series that starts Tuesday, and you know, if they sweep that,
right,
they can surpass the Buffaloes, and it can be them who is going to be fighting for the second place spot possibly. So I mean, there's still a lot of scenarios to go out there, but geez, the fighters really.
Well, the Buffaloes here. The interesting thing with the Buffaloes is that they have a kind of, I don't know. Every time they play well, it always seems to be a mystery. Not because they aren't good; they're not a good bunch of players, but we just don't tend to think of them as a team that has any sort of cohesiveness or
staying power
or confidence.
How are these guys doing it? There's a lot of times. I mean, you know, we'll get to them in a second, but I agree.
Yeah.
They're a mystery. Sheesh. Runs allowed, the fighters, what, they're giving up 3.76 runs per game?
Yep.
Scoring 2.6, that's, I mean, you know, no matter how much of a stud you have in Darvish,
right,
you can't ride
right
not scoring runs and giving up more runs than you score. I mean, you know, only the Swallows can do that.
Well, the fighters, I'll tell you, to give you an idea, I was looking at what the six playoff teams have done in the last, let's say the last 2 months, since the beginning of August.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in the Central League teams, when you put a ball in play, you expect it to hit about 300.
Right.
The Central League, maybe 295.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacific League, about 295. Since August 1st, fighters' opponents putting the ball in play have hit 335.
Wow.
It's like, these guys are not catching the ball. I mean, what else can we say? They're not catching. Of course, it's like the home runs this year. It's not all the ball.
And it's not all the pitcher, and it's not all the defense.
Exactly.
It's a combination. But for some reason, the balls are not being caught.
Right. But in this, what I'm saying about the ball is it creates a dynamic where other things happen. We've talked about it. The ball is one thing. And the fact that it's not going means another thing. It means the better pitchers are throwing more innings. The worst pitchers are throwing fewer innings. You know, there's lots of other factors. It's not just the ball, but it starts with the ball. And I don't know what's, you know, the chicken and the egg here is, but the guys aren't catching the balls, and either they're trying too hard and the pitchers are having to try too hard because the guys aren't catching the ball, and just things are spinning out of control, or they had been spinning out of control. And I don't want to take anything away from the Fighters players, but you know, this is how it looks.
Right.
If it's happening, I don't know. But this is how it looks.
So what do you do in a playoff situation? We obviously know Darvish is going to be their game one starter.
Why not? He's going to be the best pitcher in the playoff, in the postseason this year.
Yeah. Then what do you do? I mean, Takeda, he's been.
No. No. Well, no. He hasn't been. No, he has. He was in the beginning of the season. He was a stud.
No, but I mean, I was going to say he hasn't been himself recently. He was 1-3 in September, and he got knocked around in all three of those losses. One game he won was a 2-1 game. So, is he number two? If not, where do you go?
Not for me.
So where do you go for number two?
No, I'd go, well, and then now here's the dilemma, is you got a team that isn't catching the ball, and you know, that isn't scoring runs, and that isn't catching the ball, and... Okay, do you give it to Bobby Kepler, you know, give the ball to Bobby Kepler, who doesn't strike guys out, but he puts the ball in play. Now, they've caught the ball when he's hit, you know, they've caught the ball when he's been pitching,
mm-hmm.
although not recently. They haven't caught the ball when anybody's been pitching recently. But you know, that's the question. Is it's Kepler or it's Wolf or it's Takeda?
Wolf is 1-3 in September, and he hasn't been pitching well at all.
No.
Been knocked out early.
I think Wolf is the last guy on the rotation. I would go Darvish, and Kepler and Takeda, and so then maybe Yuki Saito.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, that team, you know, you don't really know, whereas in the first half of the season and up through maybe mid-August, you know, they were one of the best teams in Japan, and now they're just a bunch of question marks. It's scary how things change here. The offense has been sluggish as well, but I mean, you know, even Sho Nakata, he was hitting so well and doing so well up through August 15th, it seems. And I'm scared for him.
Well, I think the ultimate question when we start talking about the playoffs there's so many ways we can look at it, but the question is really not what they've done this year, but how good is the player right now?
Right.
You know, he could have been, you know, his stats this year might not have been reflective of where he actually is in his career, the actual quality he has. We've seen that where players have bad years. Hideaki Watkui was just a nightmare in 2008, but he came back from the Olympics and sort of remotivated, and Watanabe saw it, and he was dynamite in the Japan series.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he was a good pitcher. He was just having a lousy year. And really what happens is where he is, not what his stats say he is. And the next question is, well, are they confident? I think this is a big problem for the Fighters.
Yeah.
I think they're a talented team. If they wake up, I think in the next, you know, funny things can happen, but now that they're out of the pennant, you know, they're out, they've been eliminated from contention as the pennant winner, they could just sort of relax, unwind, say, okay, we're just going to be ourselves, and then come into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, whether they finish second or third, they're going to be in the second stage. The Buffaloes won't be able to stop them, because I think the Fighters are a better team.
Well, you think, yeah, but what you said just a moment ago, which is it's how you're playing now, I think the Buffaloes are a more confident team, they're playing better, and quite honestly, they look a lot better. They look twice as strong as the Fighters do right now. And I mean, if I had to pick them in a series, I don't know why, but I think I'd pick the Buffaloes right now. And you want to talk about their rotation. You got Kaneko, their ace, who I wouldn't trust him to start a playoff game and look good. You got Terahata. And after that, who do they throw?
Well, the Buffaloes kind of have a Central League pitching staff. You know, they have guys who don't miss a lot of bats. But there are issues with the Buffaloes. The Buffaloes are a real interesting team. But I'll tell you, and just to go back to the Fighters, is predicated on, yeah, if you had to go right now, if they had to play right now, I wouldn't pick the Fighters to beat the Yokohama Bay Stars.
There you go, Michael.
But I don't necessarily think that was a good thing to say.
Hey, man,
about the Bay Stars.
Hey, spin it positive, man. You're picking the stars.
It would be called Sledge's Revenge. Okay. All right. But the... But the Buffaloes, okay, I'm saying that give them time. You know, they've got a couple of weeks to go. They could, I don't think they're a bad team. I don't think, but I think right now, the way they're playing, they're in a rut. They're not going to get out of it overnight. They could get out of it in a week. Okay, now the Buffaloes, what have we got? We've got a Pacific, we've got a Central League pitching staff. We've got a bunch of guys who are pretty good, who put the ball in play. And here's the problem is the Buffaloes defense.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's sad. The Buffalo's defense does not really belong in the postseason.
I wanted to call them mediocre, but the more I see them do things, the more I don't want. Although they had a really nice relay play the other day, but I mean, no.
No. Okay. Now, which means to say I really like the pitchers. I think that if they had a couple of guys, I'm trying to think. I don't watch the Buffaloes enough to say. Now they have some good fielders. We're both fond of Aaron Balduris.
Yeah.
And you love the new catcher, so that might be a difference.
He's injured. We don't know if he's going to make it back.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. But up the middle, it's as Terry used to call him, Obicki.
Obicki.
Obicki and Goto, and man, they got to go to somebody else.
Yeah.
This guy can't really catch.
Yeah.
I like Sakaguchi in center. He's got no arm. He covers some grounds. He doesn't make too many mistakes.
He adds speed to any runner with his arm.
Yeah.
And all the worms try to duck out of the way when he starts throwing.
He throws
worm killers everywhere.
Okay.
So the
Buffaloes, ironically, are sort of like the 2001 version of the, excuse me, the 2011 version of the 2001 Buffaloes. The Kintetsu Buffaloes, the last time they won the Pacific League. They're basically all power and everything else. They've got some good pitching. They've got a few good fielders. They've got a few guys with speed, but basically, it's all about offense. Right now, it's all about offense.
Well, we wish them luck. Let's go on and move to the Central League now. Looks the Swallows, what are they? They're fluttering here. They're still moving toward the Central League title, but the standings are lying, okay? First of all, there's two games. The Dragons are behind them by two games, but they're still way back. In fact, they have more victories than the Swallows, but it's still, what is it, still a 5-game difference in the loss column?
Yeah, to win the pennant race, the Dragons are going to have to get about 5 more victories than the Swallows, I think.
Yeah, it's the standings lie, okay? And even if they have a series coming up, and let's say the Dragons sweep the series and go in, you know, the standings will say they're actually in first place by a game. Right. Well, they really won't be because they'll still be a couple, 3 games behind them in the loss column. So
we'll
have to see how that goes. But interesting how it's going to play out. I think the Swallows will finish first and they'll get to host the second stage. And that means it looks to me that the Dragons and Giants are going to face off in Nagoya in the first stage.
Yep.
And, but let's talk about the Swallows, first of all. They're assuming they don't blow it.
Right.
Their starters would be Tateyama, I guess.
I think we have to go with Tateyama. He's the best pitcher. He's back. He's pitching okay now. I don't know how his finger feels.
But I think it's still messed up, but I mean, you know, their catcher's got a messed up hand. He's still playing, so. He's fine. Ishikawa? I can't remember.
Well, he's not, to be fair, he's really not anything like their best pitcher. He's their ace pitcher, but he's really not anything like the best option for the playoffs. But on the other hand, he's a veteran. He's a bit of a bulldog. I mean, he's as much of a bulldog as they got after Tateyama. So, yeah, I guess so. Why not?
Well, I mean, and Yoshinori, what's the deal with him? I can't remember the last report I saw that if he was going to make it back or not, but I know he's injured. I mean, you certainly would like to see him come out and throw for that team because he had been effective, very effective.
Right, and he's the guy, he's probably he's got the best. I think he's got the best stuff on the Swallows. He's one of the better. You know, I think he is one of the better pitchers in the Pacific Central League. You know, given the context of, you know, the league and all that, but I don't think he's available.
Yeah.
And let's assume if he is, then it's going to be Tateyama, Ishikawa, and Yoshinori.
And then Muranaka, because he's injured too.
Is he injured now? Okay.
Well, I mean, I think he'll be back in time for the playoffs.
He's been pitching like he's injured, that's for sure.
Well, no, that's not true. They've been doing okay. They're not as bad as our fighters have been. But,
So basically in order of, if they've got him, ideally it would be Tateyama, Ishikawa, Yoshinori, Muranaka, Akagawa. And then, you know, hope it doesn't get to Shichijo, but I'll tell you something's funny about Shichijo, because he's got absolutely nothing, but,
he's got control sometimes.
He's got absolutely nothing, but he's got to be the I hate to say this about a human being, but maybe he's just too stupid to realize how much trouble he is when the bases are loaded and he doesn't bother him. Because it can't be the case, but he is just.
Wow.
He's got ice water. This guy has just got nerves of steel. I don't think it's a lack of
nerves
intelligence.
Nerves of steel or lack of brains.
It could be one or the other.
He's
cool as a cucumber with the stuff that he's got. To throw that stuff over the plate.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, the bullpen has been adequate. Liam is kind of like a BP pitcher in terms of blood pressure. not a batting practice, but I mean, he's getting through, and I mean, you know, you can't argue with 30 saves too much. You can just say, hey, look, you can put a few fewer people on base would help us out a little bit, but
right.
Yeah, he's getting the saves.
Well, the middle of the bullpen has really been struggling, although
yeah, they miss Barnett big time. But.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I know Oshimoto being in there is talk about blood pressure.
Yeah,
he's gonna give a few Swallows fans heart attacks. I guarantee it.
Well, let's go on to the Dragons now. For me, they have three frontline type starters, and they have the best pitching. I think in terms of a short series, you know you got Yoshimi, you got Nelson, you got Chen.
You know, I think you're missing somebody there.
Who is it?
Engelbert Soto.
I was going to mention Soto. I was going to put him in front. I wasn't done.
I'm trying to write off the Dragons before you can. Get him out of there.
Soto has pitched well for them. I can't say his name. I always call him Engelbert, but good job. Okay. And then Daisuke Yamaya is out there, who's a proven, you know, playoff postseason warrior. So. Yes. I think they really have a really good setup going if they, you know, whether they're in position to finish first or second. The problem is, again, the second place team, if to get through to that second stage, has to blow out their best pitching to do it. So they would have to start.
I don't think that's much of a problem.
Exactly, because they do have the pitching.
Because they're deep, you know, 3-4-5 is not a problem. I think 3-4, I'd 3-4-5 against the Swallows, 1-2-3, and you might walk away with a win out of that.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, then things turn around. Of course, the Swallows, the Dragons' problem is that then they get a Jingu where they never win.
Not this year. Were they 1-8 at some point?
They're
1-7.
They don't win there much, period.
Yeah. Well, especially this season, it's been ugly. Then, you know, they have good defense. They have, fairly okay speed. Last year's Central League MVP was sent down to the minors for a little while. He's back up. He had three hits today, Kazuhiro Wada. He's doing okay. Tony Blanco seems to have found find the meaning of bat. He's been hitting since he came back up from the minors. So if they're going to be that team, you know, it's completely different from the team that I predicted midseason would finish in fifth place, because if they're going to score runs, that makes them a different kind of animal. And today they had
scoring,
7 runs.
They are more consistent scoring. The pitching is stabilized a bit. I think Soto had a lot to do with that. The other thing is the defense has been gradually improving.
Right.
I think the Dragons' defense right now is the best in the Central League, and it's probably the best in Japan right now because the Fighters.
I'm not going to go that far, but yeah,
I would.
But you know why? Because there's such a problem at shortstop, and I mean, and I love I love Masahiro Araki.
Who doesn't have a, okay, let me ask you this. Who doesn't have a problem at shortstop?
Well, it's the degree of problem, okay? I mean,
okay.
I'm not saying that, you know, it's the worst in Japan.
In the context of Japanese baseball this year, he's a pretty good, he's an adequate shortstop.
Yeah, but I mean, even in the game today where I caught a couple glances here and there, I mean, there's some balls that go into the hole. He doesn't have the arm strength to make a great throw across the diamond and guys beat it out. I mean, you know, guys who aren't even fast. So, their defense, I wouldn't say is the best in Japan, but it's probably the best in the Central League. And in terms of what they do with their pitching, they do have guys who miss bats. Nelson misses bats, Yoshimi misses bats, and Chen misses bats. And that, you know,
Chen doesn't miss that many. I'll tell you,
he hasn't this year.
That's a case of maybe that Chen shows up this year. He's been a finesse pitcher who thinks he's a power pitcher.
And he's not a great postseason performer.
Although he has gotten, you know, he has Ochiai used to pitch him almost exclusively against the Dragons and Bay Stars.
Ochiai used to pitch Chen against who?
The Giants and Bay Stars.
Giants, okay. All right.
And his record was basically, he used to get most of his wins, I would say, half his wins against the Bay Stars and almost always losses against the Giants. But that has changed. He certainly he's more confident than he used to be. He has started to beat the Giants a bit. So that funk's gone. I think, yeah, he might, things might turn around. He's now sort of, if he comes out and as good as he can be at this stage in his career and he's healthy, yeah, he's the best pitcher on the team.
All right. So now looking at the Giants, you know, they've been doing it with smoke and mirrors, it seems. I mean, like after Utsumi, who's going to start for them in a playoff season?
Sawamura.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did realize that.
Sawamura has
become the guy. Yeah.
He has become. In fact, right now I like him better than I like Utsumi.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably been just as steady, and for a rookie, right. that says a lot. But okay, so who's after that? Tono? Nishimura? Who are you going to start?
Good
Takagi?
Guess.
Ono?
You know, and this is the shame, is because the guy who was pitching the best for him
hurler.
And now, here's the question, is he going to be back? Because the word is he's done for the regular season. We haven't, of course, they're not going to say, well, we're expecting him back for the playoffs because they're going to get every. If he is, they're not going to tell anybody.
Right, which is a smart.
But move. Yeah, if Dickey Gonzalez comes back and he has a chance to have his I think the thing with Dickey though is he really needs the competitive games under his belt. There's no way in hell he's going to get him before the playoffs.
Yeah,
the best
he was pitching well when he went out. So
if he is healthy, the best thing for them to do is bring him in and start him, bring him in relief, and then you know get his feet wet. And then make maybe a game 4 starter, game 5 starter. But yeah, who's after them? Shun Tono, Junpei Ono.
Yeah, Ono. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I don't like you know what they bring. I mean, Alex is a great player with the bat in his hands, but not with a glove.
No, this year has been a real trial for him.
Yeah, third base, first base, not you know they'll put anybody out there because they want the bats in there. Second base has been up in the air. They're strong at catcher. They're
well, I think Fujimura is a good second baseman, but
we don't know who's going to play. I mean, it's hard to determine who's going to play.
Right.
And they really go for the bats rather than the defense anyway. It could be Furuki who ends up, you know, going out there with the gloves. So we don't know that, but I don't like their defense at all. I think a team like that can and will be exposed in the playoffs. And
right.
But you never know. They could hit their way past it, but I wouldn't.
Well,
I wouldn't.
Well, they don't have the power. You know, they don't have the. They don't have enough pitching power to keep the ball out of the field enough to keep their fielders from blowing the game.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this team is coming back now. This is a power hitting team once more. Right now, they are like the Buffaloes, one of the teams that can really pop it, and that's an advantage in the playoffs. They're a better team than the Buffaloes. Could they? You know, this year. when nobody hits home runs, they're one of the teams that can. So,
that's a big boost in the playoffs.
They could hit home runs. This team could hit home runs in the Nagoya Dome.
Yes, they can.
So they could certainly hit them in Jingu.
Sakamoto loves hitting them there, and so does Mr. Ramirez, and so does Abe. So I mean, yeah.
I don't see them. They're really a wild card there. So they could go all the way. It's going to depend on how good the Dragons pitching can avoid making so many mistakes. The Swallows probably can, I don't know.
It'll be great to watch.
They don't have the defense, and the problem is they're going to give up big innings, and they'll get a few big innings with the big bats. So,
all right, let's move on to fielding questions. No, we didn't have any questions this week, but we did get a comment.
Okay, fair enough.
Simon Curry said, great interview with Jose. He's talking about Jose Fernandez in last week's interview.
Right.
And he says, I don't think I've ever heard an active player go that much in depth in an interview about his teammates. Very articulate and thoughtful man. And, Michael Westbay actually commented to me and said that maybe he thought of Jose maybe being a manager one day. And I thought, I don't know. I don't know that he thinks that way. I think he was just, commenting on his surroundings. I mean, when you have a good team around you, if you have players who are going to be able to produce or guys who are in the developmental stage. And I think in his first stint with the team, he realized that they had some talent, but they were young. And at this point in his career, he's looking around and there's another crop of new players out there with the Lions who are talented but are young. And I think, you know who's out there with you. It's good that he was that candid with us, and we appreciate his interview, too.
Yeah, I think that's more of what it is just being – well, I'll tell you one thing about Jose. He's very positive, and he's very optimistic. But at the same time, he's pretty honest. So I don't want to say nobody wants to say bad things about their teammates, and he pretty much won't say bad things about their teammates, but if he likes something, he's going to say it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have another interview hopefully next week. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Thank you for the comment. You can email the show at yakyujohn@gmail.com. Look for us on our Facebook page and send us a comment there. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, John. We'll see you next week.
Have a good night, and let's hope summer comes back fast. Enjoy your baseball.